Hey everybody, Thin Line Believers is back with another podcast. I am Adam, and I think this week's podcast is probably going to be a bit shorter because the interviewees that I'd hoped to have on here to entertain you and hopefully bring you a solid word from the Lord, well, they all fell through, which that's okay. That's all right, because this week I'm going to share an experience of mine and really what it made me think about. It was a horrible experience and a good experience, if that's possible. So anyway, we'll get right into it here. So a friend of mine turned 40 years old, and to mark the occasion, he asked if I would hike South Sister. Now, for those of you who are hikers, who are big cardiovascular work fans, I'm not that kind of person. So when he asked me, I said yes. I mean, it's just a mountain, right? And I like to hunt. I like to get outside and see some of God's creation. And I was stupid for saying yes. I was stupid because I didn't know what I was getting myself into entirely. And when I asked some of my friends what they thought about it, of course, it freaked me out because they were telling me how much water I needed to bring, how I needed to keep salt in my system, and all these things to make sure I didn't die up there. Because come to find out, that's probably a little above the ceiling where a helicopter can come in and fly my fat self out of there. So anyway, with that in mind, I told this friend that I would hike up there with him and make a day of it. Since he was turning 40, he wanted to kind of climb a mountain as he's over the hill now. So I understood it, and the company was great. I love my friend, and I think that part of it was fantastic. And not only here, just a little side note here, that same friend was baptized on this previous Sunday. And so it's just been an amazing week. It has been an amazing week watching God work in him and in others. And that is absolutely just amazing to be able to see God's work in your friends and your family. There's really no feeling like it, because you know that when one person gets saved, all of heaven rejoices, all the angels rejoice, and I can understand just a little bit of why they do that. It's been just awesome to watch. Okay, getting back to the mountain though. So this is probably not a huge mountain for a lot of you. Okay. And it wasn't a huge mountain for my friend, I don't believe, because even though he's got a couple years on me, I have 30 pounds on him. So I was lugging my fat self up this mountain. I believe it took us 4 hours to get to the top. And I looked it up. The top is 10,363 feet in elevation, which is higher than I have ever climbed or been outside of an aircraft. So we did climb to the top, and full disclosure, I stopped a couple hundred yards short, lightheaded, and I had to sit down and have a snack and chug the Gatorade like a big sissy. And then I prayed to God to fly me to the top, which he didn't. That's okay. I death marched the rest of the way to the top. And once on top, I took a nice break. So, but when I was on top of the mountain, and this is where it kind of relates to the message that I want to share today, the message that I experienced, and I believe God was talking to me, not just me alone, but probably to a couple of you. So when I got on top, I thought to myself, you know, this is the closest that I have been... No, I don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that heaven is in the sky. I don't know how all that works. It may be a different dimension. I don't know. But in the Bible, we see Jesus go to a mountaintop where he meets with Elijah and Moses. We see Elijah on a mountaintop when he battles the prophets of Baal. We see Abraham go to a mountaintop to sacrifice Isaac, which never happens. God stops the knife and says prophetically, I will provide myself a sacrifice. We also see Moses ascend up the mountain when he receives the Ten Commandments. So I thought, well, here I am. I am on top of a mountain. Which was kind of fitting, and I'm not going to say that my friend is the Messiah or anything like that. It was just interesting to me that he was baptized recently, and then we went up a mountain, which is similar to what Jesus did. He was baptized, he was led away, and there he was tempted. Thank God I wasn't tempted up there, because I was too lightheaded to make a rash decision anyway. So, here we are on a mountaintop. Here we are, ascended up top, and I thought to myself, as I prayed, I don't feel the presence of God any more than I did at the bottom. As a matter of fact, I feel a lot worse on the top than I did at the bottom. Not only because I was physically taxed, I knew that I had to make my way back down, and it was over 6 miles back to the bottom. I wasn't looking forward to that. I had several people that lapped me on this route. One in particular passed us probably 2 miles in, and then before I even reached the top, he was literally running back down the mountain. If you've ever hiked South Sister, I'm sure you've seen some of those people, and if you're one of them, I don't think we could be friends. So, all joking aside though, here I was on top of the mountain. And I realized that we cannot climb any closer to God. Nothing that I can do in my own strength is going to get me any closer to God. Nothing is going to make God love me more. Climbing to the top of that mountain didn't make it so I could hear him more clearly. It didn't make it so that he favored me anymore. As I looked out, I was freezing cold, and all I could see was wind and the clouds blowing over. And of course, I mean, one good thing was I was able to look down at the birds and make fun of them, because even though they can fly everywhere, they weren't as high as I was. But seriously though, nothing I could do could make God love me more. Which I wanted to talk about. And it brings me to Galatians. Several times in the Bible, Paul talks about how our works will not make up for our sins, for whatever the case. There were a lot of debates going on in Paul's day as to whether or not Gentiles needed to be circumcised. Now, if you can imagine coming to a saving knowledge, say my friend, say he came to a saving knowledge at the age of 40. Now, I know he believed before that, but let's just, as an example, let's just say you're 40 years old and you come to know Christ. Then, lucky you have to be circumcised. Now, that was turning some people off on this faith, nearly 2,000 years ago. And understandably, I mean, if I'm my age and they suddenly say, hey, you need to be circumcised, here you go, go and slice that off. You know, like Paul said, it doesn't make you holy. It's the circumcision of the heart. In fact, he even suggested that some of the Jews in those days go and cut their wing-ding-dilly completely off if they thought that that was going to make them more holy, but it doesn't. The point I'm getting at is that it is by faith that we are saved, not by works, not by the law. Otherwise, there would be no need for Jesus. Otherwise, you and I could boast when we get to heaven. People would say, hey, how did you earn your way into heaven? And I could brag, I could boast, but that's not the case, and that's not what God wants it to be. God paid the price. God paid the price, and all I have to do is have faith in that. And that's what gets me to heaven. It's not by my works. It's by faith alone and by His work. Okay, so to kind of solidify my point here, I'm in Galatians, and I'm in chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 6 here real quick. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So these Galatians who received the Holy Spirit, who were filled with the Holy Spirit, they had false teachers coming in and saying, that's all well and good, but now you need to do this and this and this. You need to live under the law. Paul here is saying that that's ridiculous, and I'm going to have to agree with him. If I could earn my way into heaven, then there wouldn't be a need for a Savior. However, when Jesus was crucified and died on the cross, what he said was, it is finished. There's nothing more for you and me to do. It is finished. So, thank God I don't have to climb that stupid mountain again to earn my way into heaven. Because I'll tell you what, that mountain wouldn't be high enough. Everest wouldn't be high enough. The Bible says there is none righteous, not even one. There is nothing that I can do that you can do to earn our way into God's good grace. It's by faith. And thank God Jesus did it for us, because God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That should be the most well-known scripture in all the Bible. Because it's true, and it takes the hard work right out of my hands. I'm not afraid of hard work, but I cannot earn my way into heaven. Okay, you and I were slaves to sin before Jesus came and died in our place and made us free. Now here I have underlined, I wanted to touch on this as well. We're going to go down to verse 11, Galatians 3, verse 11. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. And then jump down to 13. Verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. It's not by works, it's by faith. All we have to do is believe. We can believe in Him, we can rest knowing that we are saved. We don't have to work. I, for one, am sick and tired of working, of competition, you know, people trying to look better than other people. I mean, this world has become a British royal wedding, where everyone wears a bigger hat than the next and is always trying to look better than whoever else. And personally, I'm just tired of it. I serve a God who sees me, and He sees not me, this nasty flesh. Yeah, I know. I know I'm I look like a turd and I smell and I got a hitch in my get up since climbing this stinking mountain. But you know what? That's not who God sees when he looks at me. He sees Jesus in me. Okay. He sees the Holy Spirit that indwells me. He doesn't see me anymore. He sees me and he says, my son lives in you in whom I am well pleased. Your sin is forgiven. It's washed white as snow. It is as far as the east is from the west. I don't see it anymore. So, that's just what I've been thinking about this week. And I thought maybe you should think about it too. Because you know what? You're a stinky, dirty turd just like me. Stinky, dirty turd. And the devil's pointing that out all the time. Hey, he didn't wash his hands after he used the bathroom. Look how disgusting he is. He ate that ice cream and he's full of nasty calories. Look at how disgusting he is. He judged somebody. He looked at them wrong. And when that happens, you know, Jesus said, when you break one commandment, you've broken the entire law. And the wages of sin is death. But we have somebody who already died for us. And I don't have to earn my way into heaven anymore. And I take comfort in that. I can sit back and relax, knowing that he died for me. And because he died for me, I'm now free from that sin. He gave us freedom so that we would be free, the Bible says. And that may be a little bit confusing at first, but if you really sit and you think about it and you pray about it, that's revolutionary. We've been given freedom to be free. Free from sin. Free from being a slave to the devil. Not like some puppet anymore. You cut them strings off. You're no longer a slave to that sin. People say, well, you know, Christians are, they don't get to take part in all this premarital sex, swipe right, baloney. You know, they don't get to drink and party and all that junk. Well, no. I can do that if I want to. You know, the word says how did Paul put it? All things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. So I'm free from doing that junk that doesn't benefit me, that sucks me back into sin. No, I don't have to drink anymore. I don't have to drink, and I enjoy being sober because I live in a world where Jesus fills me. So I don't need to drink. I don't need to have multiple partners because I don't need that. I find joy knowing that the Lord has filled me with love for my wife, and I get to have one partner for the rest of my life, and I love it. I don't need to listen to dirty music. I don't need to watch dirty movies because I'm free from that. I'm free from that. I'm free from the other. I don't need to earn my way. And I'm given freedom through what Jesus did, something that I couldn't do. I feel like I'm rambling. Okay, so I'm going to cut this off now. Anyway, appreciate it. You guys, share this if it benefits. Go and share your faith because the more you share, the more you're filled. The more you share, the more you're filled. It's kind of like a pond. You know, I've talked about this before. If you've ever been to Camp Riley over there on the coast, there are some nasty, stinky, disgusting ponds. And I've been in one of them. And it was disgusting and it might have made me sick. I don't remember. It erased my memory or I blocked it out. But the reason they're so nasty is because there's no outlet. You know, you can fill them up. You can fill them up. I can read the word as all day long. Every day I can study it and I can fill myself. But I'm just going to start to fester unless I share it. If I share it with somebody here and there and there and there, I'm releasing that. Okay, then I'm more like a nice, clean lake with an inlet and an outlet. Okay, it's cleaning me out. It's keeping me refreshed, and I'm sharing that with others. You know, but if I don't do that, I'm just going to get stinky. I like what Pastor John Corson says. Christians in one spot, you know, Christians are like manure. In one spot, they just start to stink. But spread out, they cause growth. Now, that's kind of fitting because I called myself a turd earlier. So, anyway. All right, folks, seriously, though, check us out on Instagram. We're not been super active on there lately. I think we've both been, Steve and I have been taking advantage of our summer with family and whatnot. But please pray for us. And if we can do the same for you, send us an email. Super easy to remember. thinlinebelievers@gmail.com. Yeah, I know we're using Google. Don't judge me. Okay. So send me an email. Send us a message on Instagram. Keep in touch with us. All right, this is more about just sharing the word. It's about family. So chat with us, talk to us, tell us if there's something you want us to share about. If you got a question that's just eating you up, send us an email, give us a call, whatever. We're pretty easy to contact. And my phone's always by me, so. All right. You know, it seems fitting to finish with a prayer. So Heavenly Father, thank you for being here with us tonight, for sharing a message that is throughout the New Testament, and for showing us that we don't have to work our tails off. We don't have to climb that stupid mountain that was beautiful, by the way, to be any closer to you. It's not by works. And I thank you, Lord, that it's not by works, that it is finished. Lord, be with our listeners, and please, Father, continue to bless us. And come quickly, Lord. We're ready to get out of here. Amen. All right. Again, everybody take care. God bless. Till next time. Toodles. Bye. See ya.